been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. Sunny and in the 70s. Big white clouds up in the sky, just like in a child's picture book, and trees light green out of your Crayola box and all. It's the weekend to open up the old summer cabin, and families are headed out there to do that now. The old summer cabin, which is sort of the family archive, and all of the old dishware and the old furniture and your old books from when you were a child. You walk in through the door, and it's 1953 when you walk into this old shack, which is in real need of renovation and repair, and all sorts of things need to be done to it, but there's not agreement yet among the family, and so this argument is resumed every year on Memorial Day. This is an argument you do not want to take part in. This debate has taken on a bitter edge, and you don't want to be part of it. When this argument starts, you just want to separate yourself from the rest of them and take a cold beer and just don't offer an opinion. Go off somewhere by yourself. There will be a moment of silence on Monday at 3:00 in the afternoon, and then the parade will commence, and the old veterans riding in the pickup trucks and the 4-H'ers will be there, and their precision pitchfork brigade. And the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts will be carrying the flags, and the Luther Leaguers and the Demolé and so forth. And they will make their way, followed by the high school band, all the way up the hill out to the cemetery, where they will play My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And everybody will try to sing with the band, but it never really sounds good somehow. The band does not have the hang of these tunes, and I don't know, I just sort of imagine that the dead people dread Memorial Day and having to hear this again, you know, year after year, and it just gets worse and worse, and then the dopey speech that follows, and then the rifle squad of seven old vets firing three shots, and then taps played by a trumpeter who's back up behind the cottonwood tree up on the top of the hill, lest the rifle squad aim too low. And he's been practicing this way too many times all week, so he's filled with dread that something is going to go wrong in his brain, and he's going to play Red Sails in the Sunset or something instead, and embarrass himself and his entire family, and then the rifle squad will shoot him, maybe, or something. Kid played taps years ago, and he hit a bad clinker on about the third note, and he just fell apart. He just fell down on the ground laughing, and the mouthpiece came off in his mouth. He almost choked to death, and it just was not pretty. He had to leave town that August, and this was 15 years ago, but people still remember this, and he hasn't been back in all that time. Cemetery is beautiful. At the end of May, people have been working on it for a week now, and flowers are planted, and we hope it looks as good from underneath as it does from up above. My parents are there. All of my aunts and uncles are all there, two by two, you know, like animals on the ark. And the grave of my ancestor, Suzanne Crandall, is there, whose little piece of hand stitching we have. It's a family heirloom. It's just a little piece of cloth, and she spent a great deal of time, this young woman, making this little piece of hand stitching. Suzanne Crandall is my name, and America is my nation. Lake Wobegon is my home, and heaven my destination. I am a girl of 10 years old when I am lying dead and cold, and all my bones are rotten. When this you see, remember me when I am quite forgotten. 1890, it says. Little message from a little girl, an ancestor who was learning hand stitching, which was a necessary craft, they thought, for young women, so you could embroider your husband's pillow with roses and perhaps a saying from Shakespeare for him to lay his head on. Here she was, and she took her time making this, and so she had plenty of time to think about death as she stitched this maudlin poem from back in the 19th century. She thought about it, and now here it is. We found this in an old dictionary. It had been missing for years, and several aunts of mine argued about who had seen it last and who might have taken it, and the suspicion fell on Aunt Lois for some reason, and there was a real bad feeling about this piece of stitching. They never found it, and now we found it in an old dictionary. Somebody was cleaning out their garage, and there it was, back in the seas where Crandall would be located in the dictionary, were it a noun, which it is not. They're all in the ground, those people who looked at each other with thin lips because they thought somebody had stolen our ancestor's piece of hand stitching. They're all gone, and she is there too. She never did marry. She died young in the influenza epidemic of 1918. She's up there in the cemetery. We think about all of them, their bones are rotten, and that's what makes our flowers grow so beautifully, is our ancestors' rotten bones. They went down into the ground to make room for us so that we could live this sweet life, and this garden up in the cemetery is our homage to them, to show that they are not forgotten. We garden, those who garden because we had an aunt, an uncle, a mother who loved to garden, and because we adored that person, we set out to imitate her or him and garden alongside them. And this is what gives us a love of gardening or storytelling or music or whatever we love to do. My Aunt Lois was a beautiful gardener. She would be outdoors on a day like today, and the bees would land on her and not sting her, and birds would come and sing and circle her head. They are not forgotten. We tend these flowers and we think of them. On Memorial Day, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are available. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous day in May. So beautiful, wherever you are. Hope it is as beautiful. In Lake Wobegon, the parents of the high school graduates are working on their yards today, where the graduation parties will take place over this weekend. You go to the party, all the neighbors, the friends, all of the relatives, the extended family comes to congratulate the graduate, and you leave a little gift, a little envelope with some cash in it, and you drop it in a big glass bowl. And remember, they do read handwriting pretty well in Lake Wobegon, so if you write out a check, they're probably going to know how much you gave. And then you have a little plate of salad with some salmon, some shrimp or something, and then you go off to another party. Daryl and Marilyn Tollerud's girl Sharon is going to go off to Grinnell College in Iowa, a very prestigious school. She tried to keep this a secret, you know, so that people wouldn't be talking about it, but somehow the secret got out, and so people have been asking her about it, and she has been telling them, oh, she will always be loyal to the club, the Jolly Chums there at the high school, and she'll always come back, but they know it's not true. She's going to go off and be a big success. She's our valedictorian. She's going to go away. She's going to become a doctor or a lawyer or somebody, and she's not going to ever come back. She's going to stay away forever. Yes, we know this. She is marked for success, and how sad for her. She will just have to find out on her own. The Whippets open their season on Monday. They have a doubleheader against the Avon Bards, and Ernie, the old knuckleballer, will not be on the mound because he's lost his knuckleball ever since he's quit drinking, because he got this new girlfriend who laid down an ultimatum, and it just doesn't work without a few beers, the knuckleball. Although he talked to his Uncle Fritz, who taught him how to throw the knuckler, and Fritz said, you know what you've got to do is wear a larger shoe on your right foot and put about a quarter inch of leather in the bottom of it so it affects your stride. And you have to do this every day. Do this for 6 months, and your knuckleball will come back. Well, Ernie tried this, and it gave him terrible, terrible backaches. And he spoke to Fritz about it. Fritz said, well, that's the price of being able to throw an effective knuckleball. You're going to have a little pain. And Ernie decided not to do it. And so Lance Peterson will be the starting pitcher for the Whippets. He's a sidearmer. He's a right-hander. He throws this wicked sidearm, this scroogey, and it comes in up and in on a right-handed batter. Who knows how this works? He's got long hair that's down in his eyes, and his hand shakes when he stands out there in the pitching rubber, hair in his eyes. You're not even sure he's able to see the plate. So he makes people very, 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 very uneasy. He's scary is what he is. But this beautiful weather this weekend, a problem for me and for my people, which calls for outright delight on the verge of ecstasy, which is sort of out of our range, if you know what I mean. We're not people who go to extremes. Lutherans are a dutiful people. There are Lutheran couples who are married in Lake Wobegon, and then after the reception, they stay around to clean up. It's just how they were brought up. Modest people who don't make eye contact. Lutherans, modest. Some of them feel that putting peas in the tuna noodle casserole is kind of show-offy. And they're selfless, self-effacing people. They go to the hospital and they wish the pastor would come and see them, but they're too shy to tell him that they were there. They would rather die, and sometimes they do. And he never knows about it. And they don't praise their children too much, of course, for fear that they will move away and they will be too fussy about their hair and spend too much time on it. But it is summer. It is summer, and it is absolutely magnificent. And my people, in their own modest and industrious way, are trying to enjoy this day. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are good-looking.